On the top, it's page 70. Bottom? 124 at the bottom. Okay, this is like a new thing. It's a very important thing.
I'm sorry, which chapter?
Chapter 29. 124 at the bottom. Okay, the Alter Rebbe says like this. As eich, ach eid, ach asar, chloshes, eid, is benafshe, abeinanim. There's another advice that the Beinanim need to keep in mind. Sometimes, and many times, in fact, Yeshlam Timtum Alev, they have what's called, in Yiddish it's called Afashtopta hearts, a blocked heart. Shenase Ke'evin, it becomes like a stone. They're not able to open up their heart at all in the Aved of the heart, which is davening. Now, the way Hashem created the body, there's a head, and then there's the heart. Now, the difference is, the head meditates. One second. Okay, so he says like this. What happens? So Hashem made the person, you have the head, which is the seichel. And then, the ultimate goal, like the Alter Rebbe was explaining in Tanya throughout, intellect stimulates emotions. Okay? Intellect is called the father and mother. They give birth to emotions. Meaning, if a person meditates into the greatness of Hashem, or they think into the greatness of Hashem, that creates a love and a fear of Hashem. That's the way it naturally is supposed to work. What happens if a person thinks about the greatness of Hashem, but the heart doesn't get affected by it? The midas, there's no love and fear created. It becomes like a rock heart. You know, like it says, you can have lev ha'evan, like a heart made out of stone. What happens to a stone? Whatever hits it, bounces off it. So the heart doesn't become permeated with love and fear. Right? Why is that? So it says, so this is called timtum alev. Timtum alev means a blocked heart. A stopped heart. Sometimes Chassidus explains that is because between the head and the heart, there is a narrow area called the neck. Okay? The neck, the throat, the neck in Hebrew is called Meitzar Hagoren, the narrowness of the neck. Because the head is wider, the body is wider, and the neck is narrow. Okay? That, in fact, Chassidus calls Meitzar Hagoren, is the concept of Mitzrayim. And in Hebrew, the neck is called Ha'oref, right? Am Kshei Oref. Ha'oref is the same letters as Parai. In other words, there's a concept of the blockage that the neck, so to speak, spiritually speaking, doesn't allow the intellect of the head to go into the heart. Because the heart is too thick and too coarse for godliness to permeate it. So the Alter Rebbe says, what does a person like that do? What does the Eitzah for a Beinoni, he says, Ashila pa'amim ve'itim rabim, sometimes or many times, yeshlam timtum alev, they get this blocked heart, shenase ke'evin, it becomes like a rock. V'layachol lefteach libe b'shum eifin la'vede shebelev zu tefillah. He's not able to feel in the heart the love and the fear. That's the ultimate goal of Yiddishkeit, is to love and fear God. And then you do mitzvahs properly. The gamin also, the pa'amim lo yochel lilachem emayetzer. It's very difficult to fight against the yetzer harem. The kaddish atzmi b'motalei, to sanctify himself with those things which are permissible. Why? Because of the heaviness of the heart. Sometimes, you know, it just doesn't go. Okay? So what's the yetzer? What's the advice for this? So the Alter Rebbe says like this, "V'zuhi eitz ayutze b'zayir hakodesh." This is the advice that the Zohar gives. The Amir av Mesifta b'Gan Eden, the head of the Mesifta, this is what the Zohar says, the head of the yeshiva in Gan Eden says, on a piece of wood, the leisalik b'nehera, that doesn't catch fire, mevachinle, you have to bust up the wood. You can't take a match to a thick log, right, and try to light the log. It's too thick. If it's a thick piece of wood, it's never going to light. What do you need to do? You need to bust it up into little pieces. When you bust it up, then you can take a match and light a smaller piece of wood. And that smaller piece of wood can light a bigger until you can light the big log. So the Zohar says like this, just like by a piece of wood, if the fire doesn't catch on to it, you got to bust it. So the Zohar says, Gufa de leisalik beinahere de nishmasa, a body that the light of the neshama doesn't catch on to the body, it doesn't ignite the body, mevachela, you have to break it. You have to bust the body. Pirush, nahere de nishmasa, what does it mean, the flame of the neshama? That the Zohar says, she'er ha neshama vaseichel, that the light of the neshama and the seichel, ein ameir kol kach, does not shine so much, limshol al chumni shebeguf, to control the coarseness of the body. That means you try your best, and it just doesn't go. What's the problem? So the problem is your body is too thick. I don't mean weight-wise. I mean coarseness-wise. And he says, Af shemeivenu mizbeinim b'sichle b'gdudas Hashem. Even though the person intellectually can understand everything about godliness, they can get it. But they don't feel it in the mind so much that it should be able to control the thickness of the heart, because of the thickness and the coarseness of the body. Spiritually speaking, like Chassidus, you know, there are many people, many great Chassidim, that fasted and didn't give in to the body for one reason. They should be able to understand Chassidus better. They said, how in the world can you expect to understand godliness when your body is so thick and coarse? I'm talking about spiritually thick and coarse. It's so grub and so low and coarse that how do you expect godliness to catch on to it? So what do you need to do? You need to break it up. By the way, it's talking about our own bodies, not somebody else's body. To break somebody else's body. Vasiba, what's the cause? He gases a klipa, the thickness of klipa, shemagbiya atzma, that elevates itself al erd kedushas nefesh ulikis, and the kedush of the godly soul, umesateres and blocks it, umachshecha ed and blocks the light. The body doesn't allow godliness to be able to catch on to it. So he says like this, you have to break it like dirt. You have to make it like dirt. Meaning, you have to establish times to lower yourself, to be despicable and disgusting in your own eyes. Like it says, a broken heart, ruach nishbara is a broken spirit, which is the sitra achra. Meaning like this, there's a famous story. The Baal Shem Tov asked a Talmud of his, Reb Vov Kitzis, to blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah. So Reb Vov Kitzis, before Rosh Hashanah, was very excited that the Baal Shem Tov asked him to blow shofar for him. So he went and he learned all the kavana, all the intent of shofar, and kabbalistically and halachically, and he wrote it down in a piece of paper, and you know, it was really, he had it. Right before Rosh Hashanah, he lost all the papers. And he was very broken by himself. How is he going to blow shofar now? He forgot all the, like this, he would study it from the notes, right? He lost all the kabbalistic meanings, he lost everything. And when he blew shofar in Rosh Hashanah, he had no choice. He was very broken by himself that he lost all the kavanah. He felt like a piece of garbage because he didn't have all the kavanah that he would have liked to have blowing shofar for the Baal Shem Tov. After Yom Tov, the Baal Shem Tov said to him like this, in a house, there's many doors, and each door has a key to it. Then, there's one thing called the master key, and the master key opens all the doors. The Baal Shem Tov said to him, the master key is a broken heart. The Baal Shem Tov said to him, you were bothered that you didn't have all the kavanas. Those would have been individual keys to individual doors. The broken spirit that you had by not having it, that was the key that opened all the doors. And it was a much better level.
What does this mean in our time?
In our time, the Rebbe writes, we shouldn't emphasize on the thinking I'm a nothing. Okay? That's what even though the Rebbe said, it comes a time that a person should really make an honest reckoning that they're not what they think they are. Okay? And therefore, the body's ego breaks a little bit. The stone melts, the covering of the heart, the stone covering melts, and there could be a little penetration of the intellect of understanding godliness into the feelings of the heart. That's what it means. He says, to be despicable in your own eyes, shehi adam atme bebeinin, which by the way is the person, is the nefesh habamis, because the animal soul that gives life to the body, he betakva kudodosi belibe, is as strong as it was at birth. In other places in Siddhas it explains even more than it was in birth, because you ate more and you slept more and you know you did all those things more. Nimtzei comes out, he ha'adam atzmi, that is the nefesh habamis, the animal soul, that is the person. Because only a tzaddik of Tanya lives from the godly soul. Normal people live from the animal soul. That is our life. And he says, "Val nefesh ul kishabei," concerning the godly soul that we have, what do we say in davening? "Alakai neshama shenasata b'tahedahi." What do we say in the morning, right? We say, God, the neshama you put into me is pure. Now who's the me? It can't be the godly soul, because we're saying the neshama you put into me. That means there's a me, and this me is getting the neshama. Who is the me? So now Rebbe is explaining that's the animal soul.
One second. When you say me, you're saying the physical chayas?
Yeah.
So it's a physical chayas, but me is the pinchiliyid.
No, the me, when you say, God, you gave me my godly soul. Who's the me?
Pintaliyid.
No, it's not. The neshama is the pintaliyid.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So we say Hashem, neshama that you give me, we say this every morning at the beginning, right? Right in the beginning of brachas. Alakai neshama shenasatabi, God, the neshama you gave me is pure. So that means God gives the neshama to me, so there's a pre-existing me that's getting the neshama. Now who is that? That's the Nefesh HaBamis, the goof. And he says, B'klal Shadam Atzme Eina Neno HaNeshama Tahedo. It's not the Neshama by a regular person. Kim B'Tzadikim, only by Tzadikim. Shubahem Hu Lehepach, because the Tzadik kills the Nefesh HaBamis. So a Tzadik lives straight from the godly soul. But we don't live from the godly soul. We live from the animal soul. She nefesh ol kisi adam, and by a tzaddik, the nefesh ol kis is the person, and the body is called the flesh of the man. Like Hillel said, when he told the students when he was going to eat, he said to them, I'm going to do a favor with the shamed and the poor one, which is my body. Hillel said, I got to give, you know, throw the dog a bone, so to speak. So I got to go do my body a favor. Because he wasn't the body. And that's unique. We can't understand that. But tzaddikim, a Rebbe, a tzaddik of Tanya, they live from the nefesh HaKis. We live from the nefesh HaBamis. So if this nefesh HaBamis is the person, for the godliness to permeate it, it's if it's too thick, it's never going to catch on.
I still think the me is the pinkly head.
Think whatever you want. That speaks about the neshama. But we say then, the neshama that God you're giving me. Right? Okay. Who's the me?
I get it.
Okay.
So what was the chiddush of the Alter Rebbe bringing this? That was the whole approach of that time. It's like rolling on the snow, and it's like...
The Alter Rebbe is not saying to do that, though.
But it's the same idea of the strong...
Not torturing. No. No. There's a difference between torturing the body or working with the body.
Here, if you want to break it...
Not break it by torturing yourself. Yeah, but he's not saying... Now, Rebbe, in the next few Prakim, I'm going to explain the meditation that a person should use to remove the ego of the body, not the body.
It's breaking the times.
Breaking the coarseness of the body. Okay? In the time of the Baal Shem Tov, in the time of the Alter Rebbe, people believed that the body, no matter what the body was, got in the way of serving God. So therefore, you have to physically abuse the body. The Alter Rebbe is not talking about abusing the body. The Baal Shem Tov said, not only should you not abuse the body, you need to utilize the body to serve Hashem.
Where did they get that from? It sounds so goyish.
Who?
These people who think it's abuse the body.
Because the body is coarse.
I understand.
And thick.
I'm just wondering if they got it somehow, you know, from a goyish source.
That was a cheetah in Torah.
Makes sense.
And the contrary, the Baal Shem Tov was the chiddush. But like the Rebbe said many times, it's very interesting. The Baal Shem Tov came up with a new shita in life, right? So if anything, the Baal Shem Tov should have been called a misnagid. Misnagid means the opposition, right? If you think about it, who changed the lifestyle of before? The Baal Shem Tov changed it. So he should have been called the misnagid. Right? Instead, and everything is Hashkocha Pratis, the Misnagdim took the name the Misnagdim, and the Chassidim were the Chassidim. Even though it should have been reversed. But until the Baal Shem Tov, the attitude, which was a Torah attitude, these were great people, they believed that the body, Gashmius, contradicts Ruchnius. Gashmius contradicts Ruchnius. The Baal Shem Tov proved, and the Rebbe brought out much deeper, that not only Gashmius is not contradicting Ruchnius, but Gashmius realistically is higher than Ruchnius. According to Chassidus, the body is higher than the Neshama. So therefore, what we need to destroy is the evil of the body. What is the evil of the body? The ego, the coarseness, which is all intertwined, not the body per se. For instance, the Nefesh HaBamis, okay, we look at it as bad. Yeah? The truth is, it's not bad. The Nefesh HaBamis has intellect and feelings. The Nefesh HaBamis has love. Okay? The problem is, what does the Nefesh HaBamis love? Evil. But it still has a power of love. Now, if you can transform that love, that the Nefesh HaBamis, instead of loving world, i.e. evil, that it loves Kedusha, the love of the Nefesh HaBamis, the attribute of love, not what it loves, the love of the animal soul is stronger love than the love of the godly soul.
Because
animals are more, have stronger emotions than people do.
So can you do that if you're not...
Because, one second, because people who have intellect cools emotions. You know, when somebody gets very emotional, you say, cool it. What does cool it mean? Don't put ice on it. Cool it mean, take your brain and calm down your feeling with the brain. Right? Intellect can control emotions. Now, have the dogs are more devoted to a master than one human is to the next. Because the dog has no seichel to say, hey, 1 minute, I come first. Right? So it says in Chassidus, the midas, in fact, it says, in Chassidus brings it down, it's brought down his farm, you know the word kelev? It's two words, kuloy lev. It's all heart. Because there's no seichel. Seichel waters down midas. Seichel, intellect, waters down feelings. If you can have midas without seichel, the midas per se are much stronger. That's why kids' midas are much stronger than adults. Because they're not mature enough to control and limit and restrict the midah. So the midah is seichel-less to a certain extent, so it's such a much more powerful midah. So the nefesh habamis, just by being a nefesh, has the midah of love. What's the problem? It loves the world. But if you can transform the love that the nefesh habamis has, that instead of loving world, it wants kedusha, that's even stronger than the nefesh olakis's love. Because nefesh olakis, because it's a godly intellectual thing, it doesn't have the same level of midah, of emotions that the animal soul has.
So if you're not a bainani, you could do this at what? Certain moments? How does it work?
Even if you're not a bainani, if you're lower than a bainani,
uh-huh.
At given moments you could do it.
And how do you know when you're doing it?
When you want to, when you love the right things.
Just any time a feeling of love for the right things, that's the Nefesh HaBahamas? It's not coming from the Nefesh HaKis?
That's the Nefesh HaKis transforming the Nefesh HaBahamas to love Elokus.
The Nefesh HaKis doesn't have a natural feeling of love also?
It does, but not as strong as the Nefesh HaBahamas.
So only if it's a very strong feeling that it's Nefesh HaBahamas?
No, it's... If your body...
How do you know?
If your body wants to do and loves to do something which is right, that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
This is coming from a level of holiness.
Uh-huh. But don't you think the rolling in the snow and all this, it was trying to accomplish the same idea of crashing the body? Nobody was like...
Not utilizing...
In order for the godly soul to be, like, you know, like you're fast in order to be more spiritual. So I don't...
Yeah, but not transforming the Nefesh HaBahamas.
It was breaking it.
And we're like fasting. They were trying to like calm down their...
Then the time of the Baal Shem Tov became anti-fasting. Look at Ger Satshuva. The Altareb is anti-fasting. The Altareb is very much anti-fasting.
So what is this concept of that?
This concept is not to break the body. It's to break the evil of the body. They broke the body. They tortured the body. They got bitten in the body and rolled in antis and beer, whatever it was. That was to break, not the evil of the body, it was actually to break the body itself.
You said, because it's one thing. You know,
no.
But
Baal Shem Tov said, don't break the body, utilize the body. What's better, if you kill your enemy, or you make your enemy fight for you? They said, kill the enemy. The body of the enemy, kill him. The Baal Shem Tov said, take the body and make him help you.
Mm-hmm. But how do you get the person's stuff, their big log, how do they splinter them? So usually Hashem splinters us.
No.
How do you get splintered? How do you get
he's going to go and he's going to discuss.
You're processed
food.
Now, Trebbe is going to discuss. A person needs to know, you know, about their... But again, it's just to break the ego of the body.
What does that mean, the ego of the body, by the way? Doesn't have seichel, the body.
We should break the body. But the body feels itself, loves itself, is interested. A person by nature is very selfish, self-centered, into themselves only.
That's true.
Okay. So, breaking the body, that's what the source of all evil is.
You know what's so funny? You ask it to
one second.
Okay, never mind.
You know why it's the source of evil? Because evil is when I put myself before what I need to do. Right? Good is when I put God before me. Evil is when I put myself before God. A person who's selfish, right? A person who's selfish puts themselves first, can't have a good marriage, they can't have a good relationship with other people, they can't have a good relationship with God, because they're into themselves. In order to have good relationships, a good relationship is built on the fact that you put somebody before you. And that's why, as we learned many times, in order to be good between man to man, you need first to be good between man to God. And in order to be good between man to God, you have to be good between man to man. When a person is trained to be good between him and God, meaning, I don't eat what I want, I don't think what I want, I don't say what I want, I don't do what I want, right? Because God comes before me. That person, by nature, already is trained that there's something besides me, and something else comes before me. So then it's much easier to be good between me and you. But if I'm self-centered, how can I be good between me and you if I'm me and you're you? And me is better than you. Right? But if you're trained that God comes before me, so you have it in you already that there's something else besides me. Not only besides me, before me. So then it's easier for me to be good between you and you. The whole therapy, I mean, it's all in counseling about relationships. Relationships can only work if you put the other person before you. Otherwise, it can't work. I'm talking about to really work, not what people say. Okay.